I'd like to say good morning to all. I want to thank you this morning for choosing to worship with us via this conference call on this morning. I'm Brother Horace Stroud, the assistant minister for those that assembled to congregate at the Highland Heights Church of Christ. But again, we want to extend a hearty welcome to all, and especially for those that may not be members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know that you are our VIPs, and we, as the song we just finished singing, we want to think about heaven as we sing that song and look at the Word of God, that God allows us the opportunity through obedience to His Word to make heaven our home one day. And for those, again, that are visiting with us, a couple of things I want to share with you as our guest being on the call this morning. In Jeremiah, you can make note of these scriptures. In Jeremiah chapter 10, and the verse is number 23, the prophet Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." So Jeremiah realized something that we all should realize, that it is not in us to be able to direct ourselves spiritually in our walk on this earth. And so when Jesus, during his Sermon on the Mount, he gave the place for which direction can be found when he said in Matthew chapter 6 and the verses number 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Jesus prioritized for us, for man, what life should be pursuing and what should be the priority. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And so when Jesus met with Nicodemus by night in John chapter 3 and the verses number 3, he gave the culminating act that one can enter into the kingdom of God when he said in John 3:3, the Bible reads, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again," and that's a spiritual birth, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then those that are obedient to the kingdom, we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So the kingdom of God is none other than the church, and one has to be added to the church through obedience to the word of God. And we find in that verse that those that are saved from their sins, those individuals are added to the one church. And I want to share that with those that are with us on this morning, and I will give you the how as I close this message on this morning. But on this morning, I want to speak from the subject, as was read in our ears, "And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord." And so I want to talk about why those that are children of God fear the Lord, and then why they believe the Lord, and then define, what it is to fear. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to believe in the Lord? As we look at the text on this morning, we will see why those that are children of God. Fear the Lord and believe the Lord. This morning, I want to share the God we serve as Christians has interest in human affairs, especially in the affairs of those his children. God's love for us is expressed in him providing leadership and caring for the needs of his children. Let those of us as Christians strengthen our faith in God by reading this morning how he leads and cares for his children during difficult times that may be even considered life-threatening. In Exodus chapter 14, I want to set up our text for this morning that will be found beginning at verse 19. But however, I want to set up for those that may not be familiar with this text and situation. The children of God Exodus had left out of Egypt. However, the Bible reads in verse 9 in Exodus 14, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pahath-Ruth and before Beelzebub. The Bible says, and when Pharaoh drew near, but we see in verse 9, sometimes in our lives as Christians, we can feel that difficulties are chasing us like these Egyptians were chasing the children of Israel. And in verse 14, the Bible says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The Christian in 2022 can become very afraid when we look at our situation and circumstances. When the children of Israel looked at their situation, circumstances, the Bible says they became sore, very afraid. And then they cried out unto the Lord. And verse 11 says, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? The Christian can allow themselves to question even whether their life will continue. When we look at our situation and circumstances, we can be as these children of God were being chased by Pharaoh and the Egyptians, them coming up on them. And you can think sometimes that, why did I leave the situation I was in? Why am I trying to be faithful to God when all these things are happening unto me? That's why we need a word from the Lord this morning. Beginning of verse 19, the Bible says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But he gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." When we're in our situations and circumstances, we must understand that God can intervene, as the scripture reads, so that the one does not come near the other. The Bible says all the night. And I want to share with those of us this morning in Psalms, the 119th division, in verse 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God is that cloud in the life of the Christian that offers light when things may seem dark. It's going to the word of God and reading the word of God that acts as that cloud in our lives that keeps those the Egyptians from those problems and those situations from getting near us. It is the word of God that offers that. The Bible reads in verse 21, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." God is able to send a strong east wind into the affairs of your life and cause you to walk on dry ground, as troubles are a wall on either side of you. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 8, Paul talked about his situation. He said in verse 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." So we understand, as children of God, as Paul told the Corinthians there, even though you have troubles on every side, we do not allow our troubles to trouble us. We do not become stressed or try to not build your stress level up during these times of trouble on every side. And even though you seem perplexed or confused, you are not in despair. Why? Because you have a God. You have the Lord that intervenes in your life. You have the Lord that sends that strong east wind into the affairs of your life. And again, calls you as these children of God did to walk on dry ground, firm footing, stable walking. Why? Because of the strong wind that God sent, the Bible says, that night. Bible says in verse 23, but the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, and that's important, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Sometimes problems will continue to chase after you in your walk with the Lord. However, God can trouble those problems you are having. God sometimes deals with your problems while you are asleep during the morning watch. And for the children of Israel, the morning watch was during the time from the fourth watch, which was during that 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. time period. So sometimes while you are asleep, God is troubling your problem. God is dealing with your problem while you are asleep. And so that's the reason, as a Christian, when we go to sleep at night, give your problems to God. When you're on your knees praying at night before you retire for bed, give those problems to God so you can get the rest that you need, because God can trouble your problems while you are asleep, as he did with the children of Israel, as we read the text. And then the Bible says how he did it. In verse 25, the Bible says, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. You know, God is able to take the wheels off of your issues. Sometimes they will flee from you. You know, sometimes you can be going through some stuff, and all of a sudden, it seems like those problems and issues begin to flee or disappear. Why? Because God is involved and interested in the affairs of those his children. God can take off those wheels of trouble that we're going through in life. So the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. God can allow you to walk through your troubles on dry ground, and then God can cause, as he instructed Moses, to bring those waters back together. Why? To wash away your problems. The Bible says, and Moses did as God had instructed. And for the child of God, as we read in Psalms 119, the child of God must do the will of God in order for God to intervene in their lives. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. But we talk about that morning time. And the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. God can deal with your problems in the middle of you seem like you are about to go under. And God can intervene in the midst of your problems and wash them away. The Bible says, and Moses, after he had stretched forth his hands, we see the waters return, and it covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as one of them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2, and they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You know, sometimes as a Christian, we need to look back and see how God worked in our lives through our problems, our issues, our situations, and how, as it were, those problems, like chariots, like horsemen, and like Pharaoh that was after us, the Bible says you can look back, and as with the children of Israel, there remaineth not one of them. That's God. The Bible says, but the children of Israel, verse 29, walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. The Egyptians were a type of sin to the people of God. God can place the Christian on safe ground and then remove their troubles. And if you are on the call this morning and you're not a Christian, what you see God did with those children of Israel, those are commands or instructions for you also today, that you be, as we said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 2, you also have to be baptized in water, that your sins be forgiven. We'll instruct you how that is done at the close this morning. And then verse 30 says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. On yesterday, we had someone at the funeral we attended obeyed the Lord, and he got water baptized. And I said to him, in essence, your sins have been washed away in the water by the blood of Jesus Christ. So these Egyptians that were like a sin to the Israelites. God delivered them. God can deliver you from your situation and your problems. And then verse 31 says, we note that when we, as Christians, look back and recall, or we need to look back and recall the numerous times that God has gotten us out of Egyptian circumstances during our lifetime. See, that's what makes verse 31 mean what it means. When you, as a child of God, look back on how God has brought you through numerous times and delivered you numerous times from those situations that look faint at the time. That's over verse 31 where we get our subject title from. The Bible says, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And here's our title. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. What is meant by to fear the Lord and to believe the Lord and his servant Moses, or his manservant? Well, first we find, turn your Bibles to the New Testament. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and the verse is number 7, I want you to see what the fear is not, because when we look at the Word of God, if we not care, we need to understand what God is talking about when he says, and the people fear the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, when Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy, note what he says. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And this fear here means when we become too afraid to do what is right or what is expected of us as a Christian, we develop a lack of courage because of our situation and circumstances. Paul told Timothy, God has not given us that spirit, but God has given us the spirit, he said, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God gives to us. We don't have the spirit of fear. Christians, if we're not careful, can allow our situations and circumstances to overtake us like it did the children of Israel. They became so afraid, or very afraid, because of what they were going through. But at the end, the Bible says, the people began to fear the Lord and believe the Lord and his servant Moses. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, and the verse is number 18, 1 Peter 2 and 18, we see that word fear again, and now we want to define it properly. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 17, 1 Peter 2 and 17, the Bible reads, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so when Peter told those Christians that were pilgrims sojourning throughout the land, he told them, honor all men, or have respect for all men. Love those that are in the church of Christ. Love the brotherhood, and also fear God. This fear is to show God reverence and honor. Yeah, it is when we reverence and honor God through his word. It is rather being afraid of offending or causing pain through our misconduct. We don't want to, we're fearful that we may not be pleasing to God. And so for that reason, we have reverence and honor God through living the Christian life, doing those things that Paul said, or Peter said, as you find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. Note what Peter said. When you're going through stuff, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means in all your behavior. Conversation means your behaviors here. He said, we want to try to be holy in all manner of our behaviors. Do those things that are pleasing to God. Why? As obedient children, having reverence and honor to God. And Solomon even said in Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Spiritual knowledge begins when I have reverence and honor toward the Lord. That's when knowledge begins, not secular knowledge, not book knowledge, but when I reverence God, that Solomon said, that is the beginning. My knowledge begins spiritually when I have reverence and honor for God. And then what does it mean to believe the Lord? Well, we find in Romans chapter 4, and the verse is number 3. Romans 4 and verse 3, we have an example of that. When the Bible says concerning Abraham, for what said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So what does it mean to believe the Lord? That means when I have faith that leads one to trust in God fully. You know, Abraham trusted in God fully by offering up his son to be sacrificed, and God had to stay his hand. And so Abraham believed God, and the Bible says it was counted unto him for righteousness by him believing in the Lord. And that's in Genesis chapter number 22, when he offered his son as an offering, God intervened. But Abraham believed God. When you as a Christian trust in God fully, you trust in the word of God, it is counted unto you for righteousness because of your trust in God. So that's what it means to fear the Lord and believe the Lord. And then when it comes to believing in his servant Moses, when the preacher of God, or the one that is the messenger of God, when he rightly divides the word of God and bring the word of God down to a level where you can understand it and then serve God, then the preacher has done or the teacher has done what God requires of him in teaching the word of God. So on this morning, I hope as a Christian, we've read the word of God. And when those people saw the great work that God did in their lives, it caused them to have reverence or fear the Lord and to believe or to trust in the Lord. If you're on the call this morning and you're not a Christian, to whom I was speaking to, the first thing you must do is be obedient to God and become a Christian. As I said at the beginning, how does one become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ? We find in, stay in the book of Romans. We'll stay right there. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible reads, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So one may say, well, the gospel, note what Paul told the Romans, it is the power of God unto salvation. If you're going to be saved, it is through the instrument of the gospel that everyone must believe. And so the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. We'll read what the gospel is. Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians, said to them in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." If you keep remembering what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture." You must understand, reading the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross and was up there for 6 hours and died for our sins on the cross. And not only did he die for our sins, verse 4 tells us that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose again the third day. Well, to become a child of God, for Jesus be your eldest brother, you must imitate what Christ did, and we find that back in Romans chapter number 6. I want you to know at this time, you are still in your sins. And that's why Paul reminded those Romans back then in verse 1 of Romans 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Right now, you're living on grace, but Paul asked the question, shall we continue in sin? He answered the question. He said, God forbid, or God won't allow. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? No, Jesus Christ died for sin. You have to die to sin. How do you die to sin? The Bible says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." So you must, as you've done 5 acts to becoming a Christian, you must hear the gospel. You've heard it, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. You must believe the gospel, as he said in Romans 1, 16. You then must repent of your sins, as Jesus said in Luke 13 and the verses number 3, that everyone must do it, because he said in Luke 13, 3, Jesus said himself, "I tell ye nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So one must repent of your sins. How do I repent? Repentance begins by me turning to God, turning to the Word of God. That's where repentance begins. And then prior to baptism, we find in Acts 8 And the verse is number 37. When the eunuch had heard the word of God from Philip, and he wanted to obey God and be water baptized, Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37 said to him, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must make that confession of what you believe in your heart. I must confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we find that what the eunuch did at verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. As I said earlier, going back to Romans chapter 6, that one must be baptized, which is the culminating act, the final act of one's obedience to God, as we find in Romans chapter 6, in verses 3 and 4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried. Remember, we have to be buried with him by baptism into death. This burial is a liquid burial. You're buried in water into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when we are buried in that water by faith, the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross, he died. The pierced side out came both blood and water, John 19 and verse number 34. That water we are buried in, and by faith, Christ's blood cleanses us of all our sins. Hebrew writer said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So initially, one must have their sins remitted through obedience to the gospel and culminate that in water baptism for the remission of sin. If you do that, as with the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says in Romans 16:16, now the Lord adds you to the church. And we find in Romans 16 and 16, we can read, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. There's only one church that Christ died for and shed his blood. That church belongs to him. It is the church of Christ. If you're on the call this morning and you're subject to the invitation, either by wanting to obey the Lord and become a Christian, get with the person who invites you to the call, and or if you, having heard the word of God, on having the fear the Lord requires and the belief the Lord requires, want to respond to the message, we bid you to come by pressing 5-star as we hear song of invitation. Thank you very much.